Mix 94.5, it's Pete, Matt and Kimber. Good morning. Sports, not screens, the key to happier, healthier children. It's the perpetual discussion around kids and screen time and how it affects them. For more on this, we're joined by Dr. Rosa Vergara's Research Associate from the University of South Australia and an expert across this. Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Rosa.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Rosa, I guess we all feel that we instinctively feel that kids are watching too much, spending too much time in front of their screens, and that it can't be good for their eyes or the sedentary behaviour that's associated with that. Mm-hmm. But I was really interested when I saw this on the news the other night, because it's this thing about the effect on mood and their mental health that really, you know, spoke to me. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, sure. So, as a parent, it's not surprising, and as a researcher, it's definitely not surprising. So this study looked at a self-report tool that our South Australian Department for Education uses, and they ask kids about how happy, sad, worried they are, and also what they do after school. And then we took that data and looked at, well, who are the kids that are happier and what are they doing? And what we found was the kids that are doing more activity, so organised sport, the kids that are doing more homework, doing their jobs so around the house, and also engaging with their friends and socialising, are the happier ones. And if you think about it, it has a lot to do with the fact you're socialising, you're completing tasks, which gives you a sense of accomplishment, and you're also being active, which we know has a whole array of health benefits, both physical and mental.
I find this tough because I've always said we can't blame kids for their technology addictions because we created this world for them.
Yeah.
And even though we think it's dangerous, kids do need to navigate the online world as well. So how do we deal with kids who genuinely feel disconnected from their friends if they can't have a phone or if they can't have screen time? Because in their new world, that is their socialisation. Mm.
Yeah, I'm going through this at the moment. I have a 12-year-old who is desperate to use her, you know, device at all times and engage in her social media. And it's around, well, how do you provide it in a limited way so that they still can have that opportunity, but it's counteracted by some movement. And that's the key here. You know we have 24-hour guidelines that encourage children to have a limit of screen time, because that is associated with certain amounts of health and well-being, and they need a certain amount of activity as well to get that healthy balance. It is a tricky thing. You know, so much of our life is on screens and devices. Even at school, you know, most kids have their own device to use, so they get a lot of screen time then.
Mm.
So it's about avoiding that passive recreational screen time where they're just kind of sitting like vegetables and not really engaging. So, you know, we talk about different quality screen time. A quality screen time activity is something that's engaging and has children moving. So something that when they're doing a Just Dance or a Go Noodle, whereas something that they're just sitting and playing a video game and not really engaged with anybody and moving their body is what we wouldn't call quality screen time. So I think as parents, you need to try to think, well, how can I balance this? How can we keep everybody happy? And it's tricky. It really is tricky.
Well, the tricky part for us in our household, and this is the perpetual discussion, is that, like for me, for example, I spend a lot of time on my phone personally.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it's not actually like reading anything, you know, watching anything entertainment based. It's doing work.
Yeah.
And I could be on there from the moment I get home, whether it's that, the laptop, the iPad, whatever, but doing work until, you know, just about time for the kids to start getting ready for bed. Now, that's what they're seeing on a daily basis. And I would dare say, given just how much people work these days, you know, that's the same for the majority of households. So
you look like a hypocrite.
Right?
Yeah.
So when my daughter comes up to me and goes, well, I want the phone, I can't blame her because all she's seeing as the example is me doing that, and yet I'm tied to it because by virtue of the work that I do. So it's this constant circle. So how do I balance that? If it's coming from me, how do I balance that even though I have these obligations to make sure that I am across, you know, the stuff that's essentially allowing us to live and put food on the table?
Yeah, it's really, really tricky. I am in that same situation. I have the wonderful flexibility of being able to work from home, which also means I spend a lot of time on my screen. Mm. And so it really is, you have to practice what you preach. It's a bit like, you know, you tell your kids to eat healthy, you don't snack on rubbish, have a piece of fruit instead. So I think we need to think of screens in a similar way and snack on screens. Set limits so that, you know, dinner time is spent engaging with our children rather than having the phone next to us on the table, whether that be, you know, I've seen simple things that some families do where they have a little sacrifice basket at the start of a family dinner and the phones go in there, and so that's an opportunity for engagement. And it can just be something simple like that, so that, you know, and explaining to your children, at the moment I'm not sitting here playing on a game, I'm actually doing work. And I think as well, as a parent, something I've found really helpful, because my kids are normal children. They do like their screens as well. But explaining why sitting there and watching TV for 3 hours straight is not good for them is really pivotal and important. If we understand the why, we can take on that responsibility. And that kind of feeds into my background in health promotion as a physiotherapist. You know, if you explain to a patient what's going on and why it's important for them to do this thing, they're much more likely to be engaged and do that. So it is tricky. It really is a difficult balancing act, and we do need to lead by example as parents in the same way we do with healthy eating and manners and all those kinds of things.
Mm. Yeah. So while you're in the pantry smashing the hidden Tim Tams, that's when you're on your phone, getting on your Facebook.
They know, yeah. Kimber. I don't know what it is. They got a sixth sense. They know.
They do, don't they? They really do.
Dr. Rosa Vergara, Research Associate from the University of South Australia, thank you very much for joining us, sharing your thoughts on this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.